enjoy that. Worship Him. Oh, that's fantastic. What we're doing this morning is the book of Acts. So if you've got your Bibles, and we're going to be doing some little exercises this morning. So if you have your Bibles, could you open to Acts chapter 2? That'd be cool. How many people have got a pen here this morning? Have you got a pen on you? How many? We've got some pens, that's all right, okay. Acts chapter 2. And, I think we're up to we did 42, verse 42 last Sunday, so we'll continue from that passage. So if you've got your Bibles, you might like to follow. If not, just listen. It goes like this. It says here, so for those who are new here, we've been going through this book all this year, and we're up to chapter 2, verse 42. That might suggest we're a bit slow, but that's okay. We're in the slow revolution. We are slow activists. Is that right? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. And selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he or she had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that this is your word to us. It's a written word, but it's also a living word. And you can make this alive in our own spirits through the help of your Holy Spirit. So we ask that you be our teacher this morning. May there be something in this passage that speaks to us as a church and to us as individuals. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, friends. As some of you know, I have the privilege, responsibility of meeting with many different groups around the country. And I have to say that because sometimes I say things and I've got to camouflage it in such a way that you can't join the dots up. Because you're trying to guard other groups and other people. But you see things along the way that are worth telling. So there was one particular gathering meeting that I was in, and it was late at night, and we were seated around together, and I just asked this group, you know, it was after a particular meeting, I asked this group, you know, as we were just having, just a quiet, you know, friendly time together. I said, "Oh, so how did all you guys come to know Jesus?" And so we had a wonderful time, you know, each one of us. We talked away and we mentioned how we had come to know this Jesus. And then once we'd sort of done that, I mean, this wasn't a meeting. We were just having a, you know, a late night kind of, you know, get together sort of thing. I said to this group, I said, "Oh, and so what churches do you go to?" And then the strange silence. And it was almost one by one, you know, each one of them nigh on said that they don't go to a church anymore. Just don't go. So I said to them, "So why not?" And they said, "Oh," and most of them were my age, you know, early 40s. So I said to them, "So why not?" And they said, well, we just haven't found one that we like. Now, I came back and I was retelling this to Ruby. And I said to Ruby, you know, this whole story. And she also recounted, you know, a particular group meeting that, I mean, she goes to heaps of meetings. That's what she does. I've become a meeting. I'm scheduled in. And she was saying too similarly that she was at a meeting recently and she ended up asking, you know, a group, I don't know, and they had these vibrant testimonies of how they came to know Jesus. But when Ruby kind of said, well, you know, what kind of church do you go to, you know, almost to a person, they also thought, well, they don't go anywhere. And again, the refrain was, we haven't found one that we like. So, I mean, that is a reality, eh? Is that right? Yeah, that's a reality. You do get another group of people, and they really like church. Could I have an amen on that one? I've got to get these amens going. There's another group, and they really like church. Thank you. We'll get better. They really like church, and they like church so much that they want to turn their church into how they like it. Yeah. Amen. And so, I don't know if you've met these people. You meet some people and they say, oh, yeah, we want our church to be like a gym. You know, we want to rock up and we want our church to be like a spiritual fitness provider. Do you get it? I mean, some people, that's what they go for. Other people, they say, no, we want our church to be like a classroom, a lecture room. Everybody sits in rows. And listen to someone lecturing in front. So some people want the classroom, you know, deeper teaching. Other people, what they want is a movie theater. You know, that they can come in from their busy world and sit laid back, folded arms, and just be entertained by madmen up front. And then other people, by the way, we could have inserted crazy women there too, so we had Emma up recently. And then is she still here? And then other people, I mean, they want their, I don't know, some people want their church to be like a pub, you know, where you just wander in and you're all mates and everybody knows your name. Other people, they want their church to be like a business. You know, where the graphs are going up, the attendances are increasing, and the staff is expanding. Other people, they want their church to be like an army. You know, there's a hill out there, and it's called Rewa Hard. And we're going to take that hill. And we're going to march together. And so some people want their... So they like to turn, I mean, we could keep on going, you know, there are all sorts of pictures. Other people, they go like this when it comes to church. They say, hey, the good news is you can do church online. In other words, you don't have to turn up like this. You know, you can switch on the internet and your church can be blogging and tweeting and emailing and podcasting, and listening to worship, and YouTube worship songs, and you could go through the list. In other words, the church you need to join these days is the online church. So I don't know, what do you say to all of that? Did you get it all, by the way? So if we just sort of kind of rewind a bit, what about those people who say, oh, you don't need to go to a local church anymore, it's all online? What do you reckon on that one? Tell the person next to you. What would you say? Okay, guys, here's a question for you. Do you think it's possible to be a Christ follower but do church online?
Well, that closes me down. There goes my next point.
I don't think you can. So I put this out for your consideration. I personally don't think you can be a Christ follower and do church just online. I mean, I think, please don't get me wrong at this point, I think there's much online that I find beneficial. I do. I'm always going out online. I mean, I love hearing teaching online. I love, you know, just putting into Google, what does this word mean in Greek? Yeah, I do this for your benefit. And some of the worship stuff is just great. And I mean, I'm an online person. I mean, I do. But I just don't think you can do church online. No, you can't. I mean, you can't fellowship online. I mean, fellowship is two-way. It's bi-directional. It's face-on-face, skin-on-skin. And you can't do that online. I mean, fellowship is like people getting in your face, gate crashing your space. You know, we might not enjoy it. Could I have an amen on that one? And we might not enjoy it, but that's fellowship. You know, if you don't like a blog site, you say, well, stuff this, and you turn it off. Is that right? I mean, if you don't like something online, you just turn the switch. But you can't do that here. And you see, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, do not forsake the what? The gathering what? Together. So I don't think you can do church online. That's number one. Okay. Let's go back through some of those pictures that I mentioned before. What about the one, you know, where we're meant to be an army? At one level I say amen, but you see, the people who want to make a local church just an army, for them it's just about the mission. But what about the vision? See, a local church is mission and vision. And what is the vision? God is big. God is great. God is fantastic. God is awesome. God. That's the vision. It's not just about doing, doing, doing. It's about enjoying God forever. So we can't just reduce it to an army. What about a business? People, you know, sometimes they come from their business world. They want to make the local church like a business world, graphs, everything going up and all this kind of stuff. Because they come from a corporate thing, they sometimes think that we should be a corporation. No. We are to be corporate. We are to be together. But we're not meant to be like a corporation. We're not a local business. We're quite different. We're like an organism rather than an organization. Is that right? There's something evolving here. What about the one about a pub? Are we to be like a pub where we're just to be mates? Are we to be mates? I mean, if we do end up being mates, that's got to be a bonus. But I don't think a local church is just about matehood. I mean, Dale in his worship, he introduced the word friend. I think we're to be friends, but what is the mark of a friend? A Christ-following friend. I mean, Dale and that scripture that they read out signaled it. The mark of a friend is a friend will reveal the Father to you. And I was at a conference recently, and this person up the front who was teaching, he said, we live on a planet full of orphans. So many people out there need a father, a mother, a parent. And so the mark of a genuine friend is that we will reveal the Father to each other. Do you like that? It's not just mateship. It's intentional friendship. What about this thing about being a gym, working out together? Being, you know, this is a spiritual fitness provider. What do you say to that one? Beg your pardon? Yeah, it's too self-centered. It's all about me. Yeah, I come here for you to, you know, pump things into me. No, church is about us. It's not about me, it's about we. Is that right? We could go through this list. Then the first thing that I mentioned to you this morning was the groups that I've mixed it with, and people say, well, I haven't found a church that I like. Have you heard that? What is your response when you hear that? What would you think you'd like to say to that person? I haven't found a church that I like. Talk about it amongst yourselves. Okay, guys. Now, of course, we're talking about everybody else, aren't we? Because all you guys have found a church you like. I couldn't resist that one. Thank you. But when it comes to, what do you say? Because that is a common thing. Do you know the two age groups where it's common in New Zealand? It's common amongst the 20-year-olds and it's common amongst the 50-year-olds. Those two cohorts or groupings. 20s and 50s, actually. So when someone says, I just haven't found a church that I like, what do you do with that? Well, I think likes and dislikes are okay. I like coffee, as you know. I like my four-wheel Hilux Surf. I almost worship it. But I don't. I bought some really nice brown boots in Dunedin a month ago, and I like them. In fact, I wore them here last Sunday morning, and one of our members here came up and said, I like your boots. And then she called over her husband and said, those are the boots you need to get. And of course I went, yes. So, there are a lot of things that we like and dislike, and I won't bore you with my list. But do we put church on that list? Is church something that we like and dislike? Is it to be on the same sort of list? Is it the same sort of category? You see, so why? I don't think so. So what is this thing about the local church? Well, could you come back? So that was a big, long introduction. Could you come back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42? And it says here, it says, they devoted themselves. Now, we did that word devotion last week. That word devotion there has got nothing to do with liking. It's got nothing to do with enthusiasm. Okay? It's got nothing to do with that. Do you remember from last week? The idea that is carried in the word devotion is what? Persistence, perseverance, practicing something over and over again, staying in a fixed position. Doesn't that sound exciting? That's that word devotion. But then, if they're to practice something, what are they to practice? If church is turning up to practice something, what do we practice? Okay? We've got a list here. Let's go through the list. So what we have in verse 42 is this. They devoted themselves to what? What's the first thing? To teaching. Now that's why we come here. Especially on Sundays, but also during the week. Teaching. To hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us here on Lupton Road. You don't get that in a podcast. You get good teaching in a podcast, don't get me wrong. But you don't necessarily hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us at Lupton Road. Is that right? Okay. The second thing we have here is fellowship. Do you know what that word fellowship means? You won't like this. This is our problem. Do you know what that word fellowship means? It actually means mutual accountability. Do you know what that actually means? It means that we are to hold each other accountable. And you know, what it means is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that says, and when you come together, admonish one another. And then you go over to, you know, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, and it talks about, and you know this verse, some of you, it talks about, as iron sharpens iron, we are to what? Oh, that went down well, didn't it? As iron sharpens iron, so we are to sharpen one another. How many here want to be a blunt instrument in the hands of the Lord? I want to be a sharp instrument. But to be sharp, I need your help. I need you to get into my face. And some of you do this really well. In other words, and that's it. That we kind of spur one another on. There's mutual accountability here. That's the word fellowship. What's the next one in chapter 2, verse 3? Well, there we are, teaching and fellowship. And then it says breaking of bread. We often think that that is communion. No, no. What is it? It's hospitality. You know, last Sunday, it was amazing last Sunday. A whole bunch of us, we did hospitality in each other's homes. We got it all structured and organized, and we don't always do it this way, but we did last Sunday. And I was in one particular group, and a guy in this group said, oh man, I wish we could do this, you know, sort of once a month. Hospitality. I know some of you out there are really good at hospitality. Ruby and I aren't. You don't often hear pastors say that, do you? But I wouldn't say it's something that we're strong in, eh, Rubes? Not strong. We'd do it, and it's good. Ruby's getting defensive already. Okay. But I know some of you out there are really good at that. We, Ruby and I, want to get better. Did I rescue that moment? Yeah, thank you. Okay. And then what else it says? Prayer. This is another practice to turn up to. Prayer. You know, I have a dream for our church. I have a dream that one day, I'm sounding like Martin Luther King, I have a dream one day that, you know, we will turn up to prayer meetings. And they'll be the highlight on the calendar for that year. I have belonged to churches like that. Now, I know we're not there yet. But we could be in the future. It can be creative. And inspiring, and moving, and enthusing. It's just brilliant. What else do we have here? And then we have, and many wonders and signs were done. Oh, do you know one of my prayers that I'm praying right now? Is that someone in our fellowship will be undeniably healed. And we'll all know that it's God. I'm hanging out for that one. A sign and a wonder. And then it says in verse 44, and all the believers were together and had things in common, selling the possessions and goods they gave to everyone as he or she had need. I reckon this church is good at giving to people in need. I think we're good. We could be great, but I think we're good, eh? Do you get that sense? I think so. And then it says here, and every day they continue to meet together, praising God, worship. Did you sense a spirit of worship this morning? I did. I think we're getting better on that front. I think we are making progress. And then it says, and they were praising and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily.
Oh, would you love to see that?
Daily. I mean, that's almost revival stuff. I don't know if we'll ever see that. I'd love to. But today, evangelism in New Zealand is really hard. The ground is rough. It is hard work. We're not in revival times, are we? So I'd love to see someone saved, maybe one a month. I mean, these are hard days. I reckon I'd love to see that. One a month, maybe. Be awesome. Fancy ending up with 12 newbies at the end of the year. People who have another life within their life. And that other life is creating new desires, and new plans, and new destinies for them. You can't beat this stuff. So there are a whole lot of dimensions here. And we're to grow in all of them. Do you know, sometimes you come to churches, eh, and someone will say, "Oh, if only we had more deep teaching, Mick." And then other people, they say, "No, the secret is signs and wonders." And then other people say, no, the secret is hospitality. Well, I think you know the secret is all of them. And that's what we want, eh? So I got to finish. We're to practice these. We're to stay fixed in these. We're to plant our feet in these. We're to be knee-deep in these. Yes? Why? What's it all for? Why? Why turn up to these practice courts and stay knee-deep in these? Why? I reckon you could give a number of reasons. I can only give one, because you guys want to get to your lunch. So here's my one for this morning. There are many. I'll give you one to finish with. Have you ever watched, of course you have, animal nature programs? They used to be on Sunday nights. And Ruby and I used to dart from Sunday night church and look forward to getting back and watching, is it David Attenborough? And watching the nature thing, you know? We're getting old. So we used to dive back there. There's a particular shot that, you know, I think we've all seen. And it has to do with the lions and the buffaloes. Have you seen this? Have you ever seen in a nature program how there could be several lions and they're looking for lunch, as you are right now. And they're looking for lunch and they see a buffalo straying from the herd. So what do the lions do? They think, great, buffalo steak, you know. So what these lions do in practice is that they target that stray buffalo. One lion grabs the back leg. You watch next time. Another lion grabs the other back leg. And they slow that little buffalo down. Another lion jumps on the back. And then when it's slowed right down, another lion gets in underneath into the stomach. And I won't share what happens next. That poor little buffalo gets torn to shreds. But when you watch an animal program, where is the rest of the herd? Do you know what the rest of the herd are doing? There's about 100 of them usually. And they're all in a perimeter, circling what they see is happening to one of their own. And if buffaloes could think, I'd almost hazard a guess that the buffaloes would be thinking, I'm glad that's not happening to me. But here is the amazing thing about the 100 buffaloes. That usually on an animal nature shot, not one of them goes to help the one that's getting torn to shred by the lions. And here's the crazy thing. If those 100 acted together, they could do those lions in and almost rescue the one. Do you get it? Why do we practice these practices? For the person who is seated next to you this morning, and behind you, and in front of you. We stay on these practice courts for each other. Because there will come a time, sooner or later, when all of us for whatever reason, I mean, we stray. And what we need at that time is the 100. But you see, you have to be in shape. We have to be in shape. That's why we keep on these practice courts, because they help us stay in shape. And as we stay in shape, so we can be there for that one. Is that right? And sometimes even in the animal world, it happens. So we're going to watch a clip. There is a little buffalo that is being torn to shreds by lions. So they're eating the little one.
You're too late. You're too late.
You guys, you cannot believe what's going on here. There's a big terrier between lions, crocodiles, and buffaloes.
Look at them all.
Whoa! He swatted at him, he kicked at him. He's kicking at him, look. He's kicking at him.
Ja, julle ouens, julle moet sien wat hier aangaan, jong. Die buffels is besig om die leeu's te omsingel hier so, en hulle, want die leeu's het 'n klein jatties gevang. En hierdie jatties wil die leeu's nou bykom, hulle jag die leeu's links en rechts.
Ooh, they got him surrounded.
Ja, jy kan maar kom, jong. Hier is
goed.
Ooh!
Chasing him! Come on! Chasing him! Where are you going to water?
You got the lion on him, right? The calf's still alive.
It is?
Yeah, it's trying to get away. It's standing up.
Now you know how I spend my week looking for YouTube clips. Isn't that brilliant? That was a kind of a picture of 100 buffalo who went against what buffaloes usually do, and they decided to take on the lions. And there are lions out there, and they eat up people. But when that buffalo herd, they acted together, they rescued the calf. So we stay in shape for each other. That's why we do church. It's for each other. Is that cool? Let's all stand. I had something else, but we've run out of time. Yeah. We're just going to be still. If you sense God is saying anything to you, for us, speak it out. Could be a thought, a word, a scripture. We'll just do this for a couple of minutes to close our service. We're here for each other. So if you do sense that the Lord is laying something on your heart for us, then please speak it out. So if you are that person and you have you've got a complaint in your right elbow, we'd love to pray for you after the service. So you do come up, and I'll ask Dawn if she comes up as well. So, yeah. Anybody else got something that on their hearts to share with the fellowship? So next Sunday, our topic is healing. It just follows the text. That's all we're doing. We're going through the book of Acts. So our topic is healing. Let's pray. So Lord, we've come to the end of this way of worshipping, and we go into our week to continue to be worshippers. Enable us by your Holy Spirit to love you in word and in deed. May we sense your smile. May you remind us of your presence. May we see you in the small things. And may we keep each other in our prayers. And if some of us here know of someone who has strayed and the lions have been out, Lord, grant us wisdom to know how to get alongside the one that has been mauled by life. So grant us your leading, your strength, and your joy as we go into this week. We say this in your wonderful name, the name that you gave us, Jesus. We all said, Amen.